American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, April 20th, 2005. And that means that it's hump day, it's the middle of the week, and you're halfway there. You're almost through this son of a gun, so that you'll be able to make your way normally to the Saturday and the Sunday. And what does that mean? Well, that just means that there's 2 days at the end of the week where apparently you're not enslaved to the daily grind of the job, which you can plot your, you know, next major crime involving a bank heist or maybe an armored car, because how many of us have not honestly thought about hitting an armored car? Really, I mean, everybody thinks about hitting an armored car once or twice. Only those of us out there are able to do it and then start an internet radio station, because that's how we finance this sucker, all through armored car robberies. That's what we do here at Rand Radio. Anyway, this is Newsreel, your source for independent car robbery. I mean, media and news that will give you the edge against corporate political tyranny that is trying to stop you from robbing their armored cars. I mean, enslave you. You can read all the news stories by going with me to my live journal. Well, I'm not going there now, but you can go there on your own because, you know, you're a big kid and you don't need to do this. And if you're not a big kid, you should turn this off now because, wow, I am a potty mouth over here and you might be offended by something I say. The live journal is Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com, and it'll be it'll be time for me to turn the page. God damn it, you think I can figure out how to say that one line? You know, it will be time to turn the page when you hear me say, I can speak. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, 76 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, and TJAG Radio. You are free to rebroadcast. You're free to distribute, broadcast, rebroadcast as I trip all over my words and explode my head in a geyser of blood all about my room. This is what happens on a Wednesday. This is why Wednesdays are always problems, you know, and we got to try to muscle through this. Steady, steady. You know, I should really see if I can get my hands on that old Onyx song. You know, I don't know if you ever know, there's a song called Maintain. Maybe I'll put that tomorrow's Newsreel. We'll see where it goes from there. But let's start right now by getting straight into some feedback. Dear, dearest, oh lovely, beautiful, oh so manly, yet still wonderful Sean. About genetically modified food, two types of them. One type is when they slice up DNA and put fish genes in carrots. This type is really scary and should be banned because it just takes someone with imagination to turn it into a biological weapon. You know, I miss my calling in life. This is what I should have been. I should have been one of those genetic guys. The second type for genetically modified foods is one that was on bullshit. That's the Penn and Teller show. It's abused by humans ever since recorded history. It's selective breeding. By taking the seeds from plants that give most or whatever desired trait they want. They want to make sure it's the seeds of that plant is used more than the seeds of the shitty plant that barely gave off any food. So in the laboratories, they're subjecting plants to harsh conditions and just selecting the plants that grow best in those conditions. Well, that's interesting, because when I watched Penn and Teller's bullshit and they were talking about genetically modified crops, it made it look like all the genetically modified crops were fine. There was nothing to be afraid of. I'm so happy that you people send me this stuff so that I don't just stay an ignorant savage my entire life. To the whole I choose a scientist over retards statement, well, that's kind of paraphrasing. What I was saying there was in a really bad scenario where if I had a choice between saving, you know, 10 scientists and 10 people who are mentally handicapped, I don't think I should call them retards because I'm way too proper for that, then I said I would have chosen the scientists, especially if you're trying to rebuild society. But anyway, here we go, back to what the writer here says. To the whole I choose scientists over the retard statement, scientists who have PhDs and shit kissed ass most of their lives and are some of the scunniest people on Earth, period. All they care about is making money. The scientists who have PhDs, they don't care if they're creating weapons of mass destruction or cures. And you want these people to create society of the future? Well, there are good scientists out there like Nikola Tesla who wanted to help mankind, but they usually die poor and young since nobody takes them seriously. Look at Jack Parsons, a high school dropout who was responsible for putting a man on the moon, also involved with Scientology, so just be aware. By the way, I've been to a university that specializes in nanotechnology in Hong Kong, and believe me, it's really overrated. We're not even close to having self-creating nanomachines, and that's from FLIA. Very, very cool. I'm glad when I get stuff or email like this where they say, Sean, you know, you said this, but this is what's really going on. I really enjoy that. If you get a chance, you know, you're involved in the field, or you've been somewhere, you've done something or whatever. If you're just, you know, a kid in front of a screen, you know, with an opinion, I still want to hear from you, but I will give preferential treatment to scientists and people who've been to universities in these countries where they're talking about nanotechnology and how badass it is when they can tell me the truth. Because once they tell me the truth, I can tell you the truth, and everything is then, therefore, hence, cool. So we like that, because that way, how are we going to know unless we tell each other? Really, I mean, we've only got so much media to go on. This is a problem that I have too. That's something we all do. Eh? We all think that everybody knows what we know. We do this all the time. We're like, well, why didn't you do this? Well, I didn't know about this. And then your next question is usually, well, why didn't you know about that? Everybody knows about that. I knew about that. Well, if I know about it, everyone should know about it. And I'm guilty of that. I'm so bad for that. So this is why patrolling was made. This is why all these different things that I put on the rant media for instructional purposes get made. This is why, so that everybody is at least on the same page and everybody has some starting ground. I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good thing to do, but you do have to be careful because, you know, there's not everyone needs to know how to build bombs. If you know how to build bombs, you know, and then there's that whole issue. Oh, I thought you said all information should be free. And yes, it should. All information should be free. But we try to keep, you know, the weaponry stuff, you know, for the big kids, not for the little kids. Some more feedback here. Dear Sean Kennedy, by the time you read this, it has stopped being true, and then I'm being an alarmist, and apologies all around. However, a friend recently pointed out to me that Xenu.net and LisaTrust.net seem to have mysteriously disappeared. That means they've gone black off the web. I double-checked, and egad, they have. Now, when I checked at the time of this recording, it was still dark. So if someone can find out what the hell is going on with Xenu.net, this is the massive and very, very powerful anti-Scientology site that, you know, opened my eyes and has opened a lot of people's eyes. We have to find out what's happening with Xenu.net. There are backup sites for Lisa Trust, but apparently none for Xenu. Or, pardon me, for Xenu? For Xenu. There's no backup sites for Xenu, apparently. So we want to find out about that. And that was alerted to me by Kwame Kozalot. So that's very, very, very cool that I got that sent to me. Now we got a big sort yourself out here. Huge. It's like, it's about three paragraphs. So here we go. You ready for this one? I get all the best sort yourselves out. Dear Sean, about 5 years ago, I was 1/6 son of a bitch in the head. So far, I've gone a long way to getting rid of some of my demons. Actually, listening to you has helped me out a lot. Well, I'm glad. And I'm on a regime of some nice pills, the natural sort. I've gotten my life semi-stable, and I feel I'm making some progress here, but I'm afraid to engage in activity with people, especially intimately. I'm terrified of women because of a long, strange, of cruel, and abusive betrayals. I've never been physically intimate with anyone. Ooh, God, that's bad. Anyway, down to the meat of the problem. I'm afraid I'll do something rather violent or bad to someone if I get too involved. I have an awful lot of demons in my head. I have impulses and reactions that are very violent in a very bad way, but I'm able to control them most of the time. The only people I've ever hurt were myself and people who were trying to hurt me. I remember things that never happened to me, things I couldn't have possibly have happened to me. However, they make me wonder if genetic memory exists. Occasionally, I have vivid flashbacks, perhaps visions, of things that I have never experienced. Naturally, I don't share this sort of information with many people, not terribly fond of the mental health crowd. No, neither am I. I'm shy to find a professional to help me, as I've been severely abused by the medical industry. They've killed a lot of my brain cells, and I've discovered I'm moderately agoraphobic, fear of crowds. You and me both, brother. I want to interact with people, hard to make a living and not interact. I want a girlfriend, I want to feel love, I want friends, I want to get laid too, but it's just not all that terribly important. Trust me, buddy, it's important. And a lot of emotional work with people, parts of my brains just don't work, but it hurts a lot. What should I do? I'll understand if you don't know. Thanks. Name withheld for obvious fucking reasons. Oh, I swore. Darn, I was doing good too. Anyway. And people are like, what, you're not swearing? Well, you know, I've been getting a lot of email, and I'm going to try to tone it down just a bit, but I'm not going to censor myself, damn it. So there. So getting back to the sort yourself out. Well, my friend, it seems to me that you've got some stuff going on in your head right away. First of all, the first thing you want to do is put the whole notion of getting involved with some chick somewhere out of your head for the time being. Because if you can't know yourself, you're sure as heck not going to know anybody else. And all you're going to do is put yourself in some big, nasty, codependent relationship that will turn very, very sticky. Nobody wants that. So what you need to do is I would, first of all, probably, you know, if you're getting flashbacks and visions of things that have never happened in your life, that sounds like either, well, from what I have read and from the symptoms you have described, whether or not I believe in this is a totally different kettle of fish. I don't disbelieve in it. I think it is possible. You might want to look into some past life regression. You might want to look at some hypnotherapy to find out where these things are coming from. What you're experiencing, all these feelings you're getting here are symptoms. They are not the cause. You're trying to treat symptoms. You will get nowhere. You have to treat the cause. So you have to find out why. Why do you have these, you know, flashbacks? Why do you have all this anger issues? Why is that there? Once you figure out the source, you can cure the source. Get in there, deal with the source, and you will find magically that a lot of other things come into play. I've been to a hypnotherapist. It's true. I went to a great hypnotherapist. Helped me deal with some shit with my dad. Crappy relationship with the dad. Never would have guessed it, but it's true. So, you know, and that's what was able to get me back on the straight path. And until you do that, you do all sorts of bizarre stuff. You're like, oh, you know, I don't deserve this and I don't deserve that. So I'm going to be, you know, self-sabotaging and I'll be on the verge of something great. And then I'll cut my own throat because, you know, for some reason, I don't feel I'm worth it. There's a lot of these problems. These are all mental drama issues. A lot of people go, oh, man, what drama? Why don't these people just suck it up? Well, because the family unit is toast. And also, you got to deal with the fact that, you know, most people generally are having very broken childhoods now. And, you know, this damage is done during the format stage of the install. So if you got a bad install on your computer, you know how crappy that is to try to, you know, patch it, make it all work and everything. That's why children and child rearing is so incredibly important. For our listeners out there who've got kids, your number one focus in life is to look after your children. I don't care, you know? I really don't care what else happens in your life. I don't care if you're a best-selling author. I don't care who or what you are. If you cannot look after your own children, then, you know, you're basically kind of a scumbag. Really, I mean, you have to do as best you can to look after your kids. There's always extenuating circumstances, and I understand that. But as long as you try as hard as you possibly can to make sure that your children turn out not screwed up, then things will be better for everyone all the way around. That's just my own personal viewpoint, you know, and that's why, you know, mother is the name for God and the lips of hearts of all small children. But seriously, the mothers of the country are what makes the country solid. And as the old Southern saying goes, if mama ain't happy, then nobody's happy. And right now we got a lot of moms who aren't happy. And a lot of the lower class culture, people such as myself, who are not able to make the money, are not able to provide the education for the kids they want. They're not able to live the lives that they want. They're very, very unhappy people. And the person who's written me this email is a byproduct of a similar sort of, you know, upbringing. So what you got to do, Chief, right off the top, is you've got to figure out what's going on with the hypnotism thing. And if you're finding that you got fear all the time, that's a problem. That's a problem. And you know you've been through the medical thing. So, you know, if you need something to treat that, you know, whatever, you can experiment with a few different things. I try a few different natural sources. Smoke a joint. Or actually, no, don't smoke a joint. Vaporize. Vaporize something. Find out what's going on. I've never actually, I say smoke a joint very tongue-in-cheek. I think if anybody, and I should stipulate this now, if anyone wishes to experiment for medical purposes only, and these are all the grown-ups who are listening right now, no kids, anybody in high school or even university should be messing around with pot. But if you're going to do it, okay, if you really, and this is not, I'm not encouraging you, if you don't have a reason to do it, don't do it. Because this, we're talking about purely for medicinal purposes here, okay? We're talking about people who cannot function in society and who are afraid of these mind control drugs that are highly addictive and cause anal seepage. If there's people out there who choose, my opinion only, not a doctor, check these disclaimers out, eh? But if you choose to do that, don't smoke pot. Vaporize pot. And you can do some research online to find out what's going on with that, and you'll find that there's a lot more healthy benefits that come from that. There's no carcinogens, blah, 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 blah. It's not perfect, but hey, we live in an imperfect world, and you know what? If you can't handle everything, you gotta push with the cock you got. That's what I say. Moving straight into the news. I hope that helps you out, by the way, Chief. Hope that helps you out. This is getting back away from the news, back to the source itself. I hope that sorts you out, but you need to find out what the source cause of your problems are here, either through hypnosis and through, either maybe some past life regression, but don't just go, pick yourself up, an eighth and decide you're going to smoke your problems away, because it's not going to do it. All it's going to do is mask it. All right, so you want to make sure you find out what the source of your problems is and then move forwards from there. Just my own thoughts and opinions as I see it. Now, moving into the news, we got a kid who got sent home from school for wearing makeup. Now, I've seen the picture of the kid, and I got to tell you, I'm not too impressed with his makeup job, really. I mean, if he'd been a lot all mimed out, if he got all Gene Simmons, kind of kissed, maybe looked like a pussycat there, would have been better, but no. He's got kind of the WWF kind of makeup going on there. It doesn't really look all that fantastic, but he's got the right to paint his face how he wants, really. I mean, it's his face. He's 16, blah, blah, blah. He'll stop wearing makeup when he realizes he's not getting chicks, or maybe he will get chicks. Who knows? But anyway, suspended for makeup. A ninth grade. Ooh, we're reporting on ninth graders now. A ninth grade student who wore makeup has accused officials at a Southern California high school of discrimination for suspending him for wearing lipstick and eye makeup. James Herndon, 16, said the five-day suspension imposed on Monday by administrators at San Bernardino Pacific High School was unfair because females were allowed to wear cosmetics on campus. Herndon said his black lipstick and red eye makeup expresses the Wiccan religious beliefs he shares with his mother, a priestess of the neo-pagan faith. Neo-pagan, hey? Screw it. The interesting thing about the Wiccans is there is no Bible. Okay, people always, there's Gardenians and there's all these different Wiccan dudes. There's no set rules. It's kind of a, out there sort of floating around, do what thou wilt kind of a thing. And I know that's Crowleyism, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no real set laws, which is good because it stops people from getting fanatical and all that kind of jazz. So, sure, why not? If you use it as a religious expression, fine. I've looked at his makeup, though, and it doesn't really seem to me to fit with the Wiccan sort of guidelines because I'm a little familiar with that. It looks a little bit more rock out, and he's just kind of tying it to the Wiccan thing. But anyway, nevertheless, if he wants to play the religious card, he can. I'm just saying I might call bullshit that it's actually part of his faith. But anyway, he contends that the suspension violates his constitutional right to free expression, which obviously it does. That's what I'd be saying. I mean, never mind the fact that it gets into his religion. The kid's wearing makeup. He should wear what he wants. It's just makeup. Linda Hill, spokeswoman for the San Bernardino City Unified School District, declined to comment on the case, citing the student confidentiality laws. I don't want to comment because, if I say anything, you're going to rake me over the coals. Herndon, who is repeating his second year at the school, has worn makeup since he enrolled, according to his mother, Valerie Wallace. Despite the suspension, Herndon plans to wear the makeup when he returns to school next week. And you can bank that since this is on Newsreel and in all the media, he's not going to catch any flack over that. Sometimes I almost feel bad for the teachers. I really do. Because they try to impose their little bullying laws. And teachers are weird, man. You know what's strange? These people who become teachers, and if there's teachers listening, which I highly doubt, but if there are teachers listening, especially high school teachers, they really got a bad rap, They go to high school, then they go to university, and then where do they go? They go back to high school again. Oh, my God. And these people are teaching our kids, and they've never been in the real world. Now, there's exceptions to that rule, of course. There's exceptions. There's the teachers who've had businesses, blah, 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 and they've seen the world, yada, 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 and they go back to school, and they start teaching kids because they're the future, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? They make awesome teachers. They make really good teachers, but the problem is we don't nearly have enough of teachers that do that. Instead, we wind up with these, magazine-subscribing, church-going, parent-teacher conference types who really have no clue as to the severity of issues which are facing young people today. Personally, I've always thought that I would have made a bitchin' history teacher. I probably would keep my job for about 40 seconds. I'd still have half a cup of coffee in my mug by the time I was packing my box out the front door. But I'm pretty sure even though I'd have about 4 minutes of class time, I'd be one of the best history teachers anybody'd ever seen. Because I promise you, people be paying attention in my class. Now, let's get into a toxic alert that came out of London. This is some scary stuff here. Dozens of toothpaste sold at supermarkets are the center of a cancer alert. What the hell? Antibacterial cleaning products, including dishwashing liquid and hand wash, are also affected. Whoa, dude, what's going on? Researchers have discovered that a substance called triclosan, T-R-I-C-L-O-S-A-N, a chemical in the products, can react with water to produce chloroform gas. Isn't chloroform what they would put on the rags to knock people out? It's like a hardcore sedative. If inhaled in large enough quantities, chloroform can cause depression. Chloroform can cause depression, which is treated by medication. Depression, liver problems, and in some cases, cancer. So never mind the cancer. We've got chloroform, which is what? It's a sedative. It's yet another example of something that's being used to stay asleep. Everyone, stay asleep. An Evening Standard investigation found dozens of products on supermarket shelves containing the chemical, from brand names including Colgate, Aquafresh, Dentyl, and Sensodyne. Wow. So you want to start looking for the triclosan and get that the hell out of your house. Anything with triclosan in it, get it gone, because it's producing gases that make you depressed. Marks and Spencer confirmed today was removing products that contain triclosan from all stores and has been working with Greenpeace to develop alternative products. There's all kinds of natural products available. There's all kinds of toothpaste. There's all sorts of stuff available. You don't need to buy the major manufacturers where they try to package toxic waste and sell it to you as a cleaning agent. The USDA said it was investigating the problem and would be urgently talking to its suppliers. Oh, yeah, they did. No idea. Oh, yeah, we didn't know. What's going on in this toothpaste? Oh, I don't know. Let's put those triclosan in there. What does it do? Oh, I don't know. Yeah, whatever. You know, how high do you got to be to believe that you people didn't know that it was making people dumb? Giles Watson, a toxicology expert at wildlife charity WWF, who beat the shit out of the World Wrestling Federation for that title, by the way, warned that the long-term effects of exposure to chloroform were still unknown and advised consumers to check the bottles before buying the products. Well, no kidding. No kidding, you're supposed to check. I mean, if you're putting things in your mouth, you know, really, it goes in the mouth. You want to check what's in it? Just me. Now, the French kids are not all right. You know the song, The Kids Are All Right? Well, the French kids are not all right. The massed protest movement of French high school students. Isn't it funny, the war on the high school kids now? Lycéens, L-Y-C-E-N-S. Lycéens? Lycéens. Frogs. Mass move protest moves on French high school students, the Frogs, against Education Minister François Fillon. Education law is now well into its third month. Wow, that's good stuff for high school kids. It's being met with increased state violence. The students are up in arms against a measure which they consider undermines equality and opportunity for youth, has a built-in bias against children from poor backgrounds, and degrades the general quality of education for all. Wow, has a built-in bias against... Oh, yeah, okay, I want to make sure I'm reading this right. They're also campaigning against the under-resourcing of the school system. Wow, these kids are freaking out. The existing high school student unions... There's a good idea. The FIDL, Independent and Democratic Federation of High School Students, and the UNL, National Union of High School Students, have now been somewhat marginalized by the emergence of coordination committee of collectives made up of delegates from different lycee in the area. So that's another way they try to, you know, make it a bigger committee, and then nothing gets done. The failure of enormous strikes and demonstrations involving hundreds of thousands of frogs to force the government to abrogate the law, as well as conscious isolation of movement by teacher unions, has led to the committees to adopt a tactic of picketing and blockading schools and carrying out spectacle actions such as occupation of schools and administration buildings. François Fillon has reacted with characteristic cold ruthlessness. I love how they treat high school students like they're not even human beings. He issued extremely firm instructions to clear pickets from the schools. Who the hell do you think you are, guy? Who do you think you are? You know, you're not the dictator here. You're providing a service, and these kids are making their own lives. So get your head out of your ass. He declared in the Senate on the 9th of April that each time there is a blockade, there will be an intervention with all necessary means. Look at this dictatoring bastard. He attempted to minimize the depth and extent of the frog movement. I will not allow a tiny minority to block the functioning of the education system for a few weeks from the BAC exam. The minister also declared, the law has been passed. I will never accept that the work of the universal suffrage has been undermined. I will never accept that the work of universal suffrage be undermined. Wow. Dominique de Villepin. Wow, look at that name. Dominique de Villepin. Why don't I have a name like that? Dominique de Villepin, the fucking man. Minister of Interior France's top cop justified the brutal deployment of police. Good Lord. I did this at the request of François Fillon. Pass the buck, buddy. We must ensure the respect of our entire national territory and freedom of access to the lycee and other frog schools. Refreshing clashes from previous day between frogs and the police. The minister claimed that he hated against several violent actions aggressive in small groups who attacked public buildings by the police. Now, attack public buildings and the police. So the cops are being called on high school students in France because they're standing up for their rights. Isn't that just fantastic? I love that stuff. And if it's over there, you can bank that it's a small ball, dude. Eventually, that's going to echo over here. Now, at least they have student unions that are nationally based. Maybe that's something that all you high school students out there, you know, can do. Maybe you should look into doing something like this. Now, remember the Matrix? Well, that sucker's dying, and I'm laughing over here. Laughing, baby! A 3-year-old crime and terrorism database that came under fire for sharing and collecting personal information was closing down Friday because a federal grant ran out. Oh, Muffet! Elements of the multi-state anti-terrorism information exchange, the Matrix, may live on in individual states that decide to fund it on their own. Now, hopefully, all these greedy buggers won't do this, said Bob Cummings, Executive Vice President for the Institute of Intergovernmental Research in Tallahassee, which helped coordinate the Matrix Network. We're winding the project up today. The system that the federal government has basically paid for, the application itself to the users of the state, will either be assumed by the state or will no longer exist. Yeehaw! The Matrix is down to four, count them, four participants. So if you live in Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio, or Connecticut, you are in the states that have the Matrix. After several states opted out due to privacy concerns, hoorah, this is awesome, legal issues or cost. It operated with grant money from the Departments of Justice and Homeland Security, but the funding expired Friday. I'm pleased. They could put a good face on it saying that the grant ran out, but frankly, it wasn't. But frankly, if there wasn't growing opposition for this kind of intrusive investigatory technique, the funding wouldn't have ran out, said Howard Simon, executive director for the Florida America Civil Liberties Union. This is a huge victory, people. This is a huge victory. We're watching the death of a George Orwellian nightmare. And I'm, you know, it's great that sometimes when stories like this come out, it mainly makes me think that, you know, maybe America is waking up and realizing that we got a good thing going on over here in North America, and we shouldn't be giving up our rights, we should be giving rights to other people. Matrix helped in terror-related investigations to identify and locate suspected and violent crimes, drug-related cases, home invasions, and other investigations, law enforcement officials said. All the civil liberty guys said, though, that it was basically the devil. In Pennsylvania, the system had approximately 1.9 million queries since July 2002. A component of the database allows investigators to search for information based on incomplete data, such as a portion of a vehicle, license, number of a description of name, date, birth, blah, 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 blah. The query can let law enforcement agencies pinpoint a criminal suspect in seconds. Now, what they're not telling you here is how they could put in, you know, anything about you, like your social insurance, your name, whatever, and they would be able to track everything you did right from university, your rent payments, your purchase records. Everything that is tracked by you was part of the Matrix. This isn't one database. This was the database. And personally, I am over-freaking-joyed that it's dead. So die, motherfucker, die! I'm so happy that you're shutting down. You'll jack me out. And if it was up to me, I'd be burning it, burning the people who knew about it. You know, I'd be killing people that owe them money. Seriously, I'm so happy. So that's the good news for the day. The Matrix, she is dying. Hoorah! A flying thing! Which, you know, it's almost cool. It wants to be cool so bad it hurts. But, you know, it flies. That's cool. I'm sure if you were to give it to me and let me give it a paint job, maybe augment it, throw some guns on that sucker, maybe we could get somewhere with this. It's called the Air Scooter 2. It's a personal aircraft that can hover at 55 knots. Hover or fly. Hover at 55 knots. It can fly at 55 knots. And who the hell measures anything in knots? I have no idea. Boat people measure stuff in knots. I don't know how fast 55 knots is, but you can bank that you're moving pretty good. It's the latest invention from Dr. Elwood Woody Norris. Norris, who developed high-end stereo speakers and an alarm that signals when a hip replacement might be in trouble. What? What do you turn on your car alarm and oh, my hip. It's one of the founders of Air Scooter, a Henderson, Nevada-based company specializing in small, light-flying vehicles. Some of its other planned products include an unmanned helicopter-like flying vehicle, so basically a hover drone. And a diminutive, ready-to-fly model that can be assembled in 15 minutes, the company says. The Air Scooter 2 is designed for people. Now, it weighs around 300 pounds. It does require a pilot's license, according to the company's website. The company is seeking regulatory approval, but it said it expects to release the product later this year. The Air Scooter 2 has two rotors that function in a similar fashion to helicopter rotors. Now, these are two rotors, one on top of the other, so they counterspin to prevent the thing from, like, spinning out of control. But the vehicle is easier to fly, advocates say. It sports a motorcycle-style handlebars that contain flight controls, but there are no pedals, so people without the use of their legs should be able to operate it, according to the website. The company also offers a movie of the device in flight. You can go to the Off My Live Journal to be able to get there. Pricing has not been set, but the company expects it will sell for less than $50,000. $50,000. Now, this is why. Sim laughs at me, but I was really thinking about building myself one of those backyard helicopter kits, you know, and really just, because once you get the blueprints and you can set it all up and build the sucker, all you got to do is bore it down, you know, amp out the power, maybe throw some nitrous on it so you get some higher load. Because unless I can carry two people, it's kind of useless for me because I need to be able to transport my cameraman. He weighs 35 pounds. He carries around about 80 pounds of gear. So, you know, generally I don't need much. I don't need much, but I need to be able to pack my kit. And let's be real, in the land of escape vehicles, flying vehicles are king. And the more as soon as I figure out a cheap way that I can build me a flying craft, you can bank I'm going to be making a how-to video, getting it out to you, and we will take over the skies as like a new version of a biker gang. Because really, that's what biker gangs are going to evolve into. You can't drive anywhere anymore. That was the whole point of the biker gangs. And I don't mean the Hells Angels, you know, the criminal, you know, whole idea. The whole point of people who love bikes, it's about freedom. It's about the freedom of movement. It's about being independent. And really, the next step after being on the road is taking to the sky, because you really can't get much more free than being in the sky. Now, let's talk about displays. This one isn't an April Fool's joke. The last one I told you about was a smoke kind of one, which was a smoke screen, which was really funny, now that I think of it, that I fell for a monitor that said it was a smoke screen. But it seems that Toshiba, on April 15th, so I know it's real, Toshiba Corporation announced a new display technology that allows 3D images to be viewed on a flatbed display without any need for special glasses. Viewing the display from an angle allows the viewer to experience 3D images that stand out several centimeters from the surface of the display. The new technology opens up new areas of application for 3D displays, including arcade games, e-learning, and simulations of buildings and landscapes, even 3D menus and restaurants. Who cares? It's for games. And furthermore, everybody moves their head around when they're, you know, playing the first-person shooter. You know, you duck and all that good stuff. So you know that when you do that, that will just add to it because it's taking advantage of a movement you already do. 3D displays that do not require aids, such as glasses, work by projecting slightly different images to each eye, a form of visual stereo. Right. The displays consist of micro lenses that control the direction of light emission and supporting software that creates the image. However, mainstream 3D technology is limited in terms of viewing angle at which you can display 3D images, and the images are also tiring to view. Pussy! Toshiba's new display employs integral imaging system that reproduces light beams similar to those produced by real objects, not its visual representation. This overcomes the main problem with flatbed display distance. The difference between the distance of the eyes to center display from the eyes display, blah, 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 blah. Goes on, talks about this here. Toshiba also developed middleware and dedicated circuitry that supports fast playback of the images with only a graphics card. So that means that we don't have to replace everything. We maybe only have to replace our monitor, and we've got the good stuff. No prices yet, but you can bank this bad boy. It's probably going to be about the $5,000 mark for the next, oh, I'd say 16 months until everybody else gets the tech and the cheapy knockoffs start coming out and driving the prices down. Let's all hope. But of course, you know, this is probably going to get patented, so it'll keep the prices high. This is why, you know, you want to get over to Chiba City. Do we have any listeners in Chiba City? Or I don't even know. It's called Chiba City. I just understand there's that whole Chiba place, that Chiba in Tokyo. You know what I'm talking about? In Tokyo, you always see it in all the movies then. I know it exists. It's called Chiba something or other. And correct me if I'm wrong. I know there's people listening who've been to Tokyo. What am I talking about here? You know that place is like some district of Tokyo where you can buy, like, you know, a Terminator, and it's a knockoff. It's like the Panashiba horrific Ioneer Terminator that's like the total knockoff. You could buy like a T-1000 knockoff there. They got Ed-209 units walking around shooting people and stuff. It's very, very cool. I'd love to get over there just to go shopping, but, you know, I can't afford the ticket. Never mind the prices of Tokyo. Holy crap, is that place expensive. Anyway, moving right along into some terrorist FUD exposed. Now, everybody knows we've had one terrorist attack, supposedly. If you talk to Alex Jones, he's got some stuff to say about that. But terrorist FUD is now getting exposed. Terrorist groups and organizations have neither the capacity nor the ambition to produce weapons of mass destruction. The former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Hans Blix and other experts said at a conference in Helsinki on Thursday. I'm as concerned about global warming and its long-term effects as about the immediate threat of terrorists acquiring weapons of mass destruction. So what he's saying here is that the global weather situation is as frightening, if not more frightening, than the terrorist weapon situation, said Blix, a former Swedish diplomat who was charged with searching for such weapons ahead of U.S.-led invasion in Iraq, which they didn't find, but U.S. invaded anyway. Support and coordination from the states would be needed for terrorists to produce WMDs, he insisted, speaking at a conference he entitled WMD Terrorism, How Scared Should We Be? Which is not very. Blix acknowledged, however, that there is a small but not zero risk of terrorists laying their hands on weapons of mass destruction and call for more preventative measures. Well, no kidding, there's still risk. But it's not like everywhere, like, you know, the media is saying. Material and technology are now widespread, and the ability to create an WMD is also greater, he said. John Parcini, a political analyst with California-based RAND Corporation, which is hand-in-hand with the Army, agreed. He agreed that the current threat from terrorists gaining access to such weapons has perhaps been exaggerated. Wow. Somebody's trying to get into heaven by telling the truth. WMDs are not easy to reproduce, he said. He said, adding that the mix of terrorism and WMDs becomes really dangerous. A group or groups form a sort of connection with the state and get knowledge from states on how to produce WMDs. Now, the thing is, though, WMDs can be anything. Okay, it's not hard to build one, guys. You can build a fuel-air explosive. You can build yourself, I mean, let's think about biological and chemical weapons. I mean, that's the poor man's atomic bomb right there. All you have to do is go down, get yourself a tetrotoxin, go to any university, get yourself a tetrotoxin, air burst that sucker, and you got yourself, you know, prevailing winds and all the rest of it. I mean, it's not hard to think of ways to kill people. He cautioned, however, that attacks on the World Trade Center in 1993 and 2001 showed the intention of terrorist groups has caused major damage there. You don't need to kill thousands of people in order to have a cause a terrible effect on a country, as anthrax showed. He added, referring to a scare soon after the 2001 attacks. It was a scare. How many people died? Or was it all just more FUD trying to get people to be paranoid and freak out, you know? Which is what I suspect was really going on. Now, here is a story where people, you know, no doubt there's going to be people listening going, I can't believe Sean recommended that that guy who wrote him in, who's obviously having problems, that he even suggested pot to that guy. I can't believe he did that. Pot's illegal. It's a drug. Drugs are bad. Well, let's be real here. I'm not going to get into the whole marijuana debate on the air right at this moment in time. So let's skip past that and look at the drugs which are being thrown out to all of the American people every day and turning the United States into, instead of the United States of America, into the United States of addiction. Alice and Ken Heckman each begin their mornings by taking a crap. Alex and Ken Heckman each begin their morning by cracking open a plastic tray with scores of pills and rainbow of colors. A rainbow of colors makes it sound friendly. Between the two of them, they gulp 29 pills every day, a regime of 14 drugs, and a chaser of dietary supplements. Holy crap. Here's the curious part. They feel pretty hale for people in their early 70s working around the house and volunteering with several community groups. They each had heart fixes years ago, him a bypass and her a vessel-clearing stent, but have fully recovered. Well, they're working. She has well-controlled diabetes. He works his way through heartburn, arthritis, and a large prostate, and occasional mild depression. Wow, these guys are badass. About 130 Americans, many far healthier than the Heckmans, swallow, inject, inhale, infuse, spray, and pat on prescribed medication every month. The U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention says Americans buy more medicine per person than anyone else in the world. Do we need all these drugs? A relative handful yank people away from almost certain death, like some antibiotics and AIDS medicines, though carrying some risk. Other drugs, such as cholesterol-cutting statins, help a considerable minority dodge potential calamities like heart attack or stroke. But, you know, this can all be alleviated with what? Diet. Maybe a glass of wine. The pharmaceutical industry served up more than $250 billion in sales last year, the vast majority in prescription, according to industry consultants. That about equaled sales in all the country's gasoline stations put together. or an $850 pharmaceutical fill-up for every American. Wow. The number of prescriptions has swelled by two-thirds over the past decade. What, did we all get sick in the last 10 years? To 3.5 billion yearly, according to IMS Health, a pharmaceutical consulting company. Americans devour even more non-prescription drugs, polling suggests. So this is just prescription. Guys, we don't need all these drugs. You know, seriously, if you can go outside, pick a plant, and use that to make you better, I would, you know, rather that. Recently, safety questions have beset some depression and anti-inflammatory drugs, pushing pain relievers Vioxx and Bextraw from the markets. Rising ranks of doctors, research, and public health experts are saying America is over-medicating itself. Well, no duh. Last 10 years, we've gone through the frickin' roof. It's buying and taking far too much medicine, too readily and carelessly for its own health and wealth, they say. Well, who cares about the wealth? They're saying they're over-medicating itself. No, they're drug addicts. More than 125,000 Americans die. 125,000 Americans die from drug reactions and mistakes each year. 125,000 per year die from these drugs. Now, how many do you suppose die from weed? Cricket, 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 cricket. None. That's right. Nobody dies from weed. So my own personal, non-doctor, non-prescription, totally shouldn't listen to me. The suggestion is before you start macking out on all these crazy medications that make you put a shotgun in your mouth, maybe I'd sooner put a bong in my mouth than a shotgun in my mouth. That's just me, though, you know? I mean, maybe I'm way out of control here. But it seems to me that all these drugs are not even sure what they do. They don't know the extended effects are. And yes, you feel good right now, but what about your liver when it takes a crap on you? According to the Associated Press, projections from landmark medical studies in the 1990s could make pharmaceuticals the fourth leading cause of death after heart disease, cancer, and stroke. So, Jesus, heart disease, cancer, stroke, prescription meds. And people still are giving me crap over marijuana laws. Can you believe this? Unbelievable. And people, you know, they'll come up to me and they'll talk about, you know, oh, what about the whole prescription marijuana, Sean? Don't you think that's a good stuff? No, it sounds like a good idea, but when you actually check on the prescription marijuana laws, the prescription marijuana is crap and it doesn't work. Do some research into the field, go check out the culture, make up your own mind. I'm just some crazy guy. Don't listen to me. Everything that comes off the internet's a lie, right? Just talk to CNN, they'll tell you that. But come on. Even when the mainstream is saying that prescription drugs are the fourth leading cause of death in America, time to stop. Time to check some. You need to lock, reload, and reevaluate your stance on a few things here, I think. This next story goes into the truly disturbing category. I've titled it Lawnmower Man Much. Now, we're not talking about the book. We're talking about that really. I kind of liked the movie, to be honest with you. I liked it. A lot of people didn't. I dug it. It's the first time I heard the term Cyberchrist. Thought it was hot. In Mesa, Arizona, the Mesa Police Department is looking to add some primal instinct to its SWAT team. And to do this, it's looking to a monkey on the Special Weapons and Tactics team. Everybody laughs until they start really thinking about it, says Mesa Officer Sean Trulove. Sean Trulove, who builds and operates tactical robots for the suburban Phoenix SWAT team. How apple seed is this? It would change the way we do business. No shit. Trulove is spearheading the department's request to purchase and train a capuchin monkey, considered the second smartest primate to the chimpanzee. The department is seeking about $100,000 in federal grant money to put the idea in use to the Mesa SWAT operations. The monkey will cost about $15,000. Let's get down to brass tacks. How much for the monkey? $15,000 is what Trulove envisions as the ultimate SWAT reconnaissance tool. Since 1979, capuchin monkeys have been trained to be companions for people who are quadriplegics, perform daily tasks such as serving food, opening and closing doors, turning lights on and off, retrieving objects, brushing hair, putting people in full suplexes, arresting people, and sniper roles. Trulove hopes the same training could prepare a monkey for special ops intelligence. A monkey, weighing only 3 to 8 pounds with tiny human-like hands and puzzle-solving skills, Trulove said it could unlock doors, search buildings, find suicide victims on command. Go find the suicide guy. Go find him dressed in a Kevlar vest, video camera, two-way radio. The small monkey would be able to get into places no officer or robot could go. Now that, you could dress him up in those little 12-inch figs, you know, give him a little chin width and everything. That'd be cool. It has been a little over a year since True Love filed for the grant proposal with the U.S. Department of Defense under Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, and he's still waiting for word. That's because they're still laughing at you, True Love. If the grant goes through, True Love plans on learning how to train the monkey himself and keeping the sociable monkey at home. This guy, you know, you got to give it to the guy. If he's serious, I say give it to him. They like a canine officer would. He projects that the $85,000 in grant money would outfit the monkey in gear and pay for veterinarian care, food, and habitat for 3 years. So let me get this straight. Let me get this straight here, True Love. You want 100 grand to get a monkey to train him to be a SWAT reconnaissance team, and he only weighs 8 pounds. I have a problem with this particular guy. But, you know, if he was talking about a chimpanzee or a gorilla, now that would be hot. That'd be hot. Think about it. Let's give a gorilla. Let's take a gorilla. Boop. Give him an M60. Boop. Lots of ammo. Boop. Nice big backpack. Dunk. And we'll sick him on the building. Personally, if I'm in a building hunkered down, and the SWAT van pulls up, and a gorilla gets out holding like an M60 in each hand and belt-fanned ammo going to it, I'm surrendering. I am surrendering. Thank you. You can keep the titanium-armored monkey the fuck out of my yard, because I'll be all coming outside. You guys all stay here. I'm going outside to go so they don't send the monkey in. Because holy crap, 8-pound monkey ain't going to scare me much. But you get a couple chimpanzees who can like pick up a car and huck it at the house? Yeah. That's what we call command presence within the industry. Now, you remember the RFIDs? It seems that casinos, you know, I'd love to own a casino because these people can afford to waste money like going out of style. All you got to do is take one trip to Las Vegas and people sit around and smoke bongs and just try to think of ways to spend god-awful amounts of money. So it's not really that surprising that RFIDs are making their ways into casinos. The largest casino group in Las Vegas has told Silicon.com it is currently running trials with controversial RFID tracking tags and believes at least one of its rivals is on the verge of an even bigger implementation. But those who fear the influence of tracking tags on our lives should probably sit back down and have a nice drink, for now at least, because it's the staff at the Harrah's-owned properties who are being fitted with tags to ensure, among other things, that customers get served drinks within a set time frame. Oh, so that makes it okay that they're using it on their employees and tracking their employees. No. Tim Stanley, CIO of Harrah's Entertainment, told Silicon that his company is now fitting waitresses with the tags on their name badges in order to ensure drinks get to customers more quickly and ensure that the areas of the casino don't go underserviced. So, you know, they're going to use it to jack over their people. He said that it's not been without their problems, most notably some opposition among staff themselves. No kidding. Especially anybody slacking on the job will be exposed far more quickly. Well, what you need to do is get one of those mass RFID wipers and just kind of take those out, guys. That's what you need to do. Especially if anyone in Vegas knows anyone who works for these guys. Don't worry. Point them towards the RFID wipers. And, you know, every morning they load them up and 20 minutes later they're all empty again. And Stanley told Silicon.com that it is exactly what happened on one day of the trial when an employee caught loafing and was disciplined accordingly. You there on Station 7. Why aren't you running? I mean, come on, guys. Come on. Yeah, it's work, and yeah, you have to work, but, you know, whatever happened to an enjoyable work day? Because it's part of your life. Now, that person, we probably won't be happy about it, but their coworkers should be, and if they're not, they'll be fired too. If this enables us to staff the casino properly and realize when we're under-resourced and our waitresses aren't killing themselves on the floor, we can earn more tips and our customers are happier. Nice try, but what you want is you want all the waitresses to be killing themselves. And if you can get by with less waitresses, that means less wages. Everybody makes more money. Do you see how this happens? There's no ethics involved here, especially in Vegas, okay? It's likely the RFID chips will play an increased part in the casino's business, according to Stanley. Although he thinks Harrah's is not about to go down the route some may think is inevitable, putting RFID tags and all the chips played on the casino floor. I think a lot of people might expect us to do that, but I really don't see the value, he said. In isolation, the chips may prove useful on game tables, most likely blackjack, but across the whole casino it becomes logistically self-defeating. While such a system would add further detection methods to hunt for cheats, admitted Stanley. That's funny. Hunting for cheats in Las Vegas. Well, look for the big buildings. The people who own them, they're the cheats. To pick on these detectors is so limited that you have to have sensors every few feet all the floor for it to really work. Well, technology's on its way up, dude. You need to listen to the show so you'll be able to find that out. Because soon they're making it so you can scan at range, 30 to 40 feet. You can put them in the ceilings of the casino and, you know, every 30 feet you can make that happen. What you're really going to be able to do with vast levels of data you are creating. How is this going to scale, you asked. However, one casino is planning to do just that. $2.7 billion wine resort, which opens on the Strip next week, has admitted it will put RFID tags in all of its chips to help detect the real ones from the fakes. But Haraz Stanley told Silicon.com, if this is true, it may be the case for the... Then it may be the case they are buying things for buying things' sake. I guess that's how you wind up sending $2.7 billion. In Vegas? In Vegas, baby, you can do $2.7 billion in an afternoon without a problem. Now, those of you who are Tom Clancy fans, you've heard of NetForce. It's like, you know, the super elite hackers. Well, it seems that the U.S. military has assembled the world's most formidable hacker posse, a super secret million-dollar weapons program that may be ready to launch bloodless cyber war against enemy networks, from electrical grids to telephone nets. Isn't all this illegal, by the way? The group's existence was revealed during U.S. Senate Armed Services Committee hearing last month. Military leaders from U.S. Strategic Command, or STRATCOM, disclosed the existence of a unit called the Joint Functioning Component Command for Network Warfare, or JFCCNW. Just kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? I would have just called them the Elite Squad. In simple terms, and sans any military jargon, the unit could be best described as the world's most formidable hacker power ever. You know, give me a break. The JFCCNW is charged with defending all Department of Defense networks. The unit is also responsible for a highly classified, evolving mission of computer network attack, or as some military prefer to refer to it, CNA. Well, that's cool. You know, that's nice. If you think that, you know, if you think that you're actually the most badass guys in the world, that's cool. Why don't you bring down one of your boxes there, JCNNW, whatever the hell you are. Bring it on down to DEF CON. Put it on the floor. And you guys go have a drink, and by the time you get back, we'll have that cracked for you, because I'm here to tell you, the people who just run the network at DEF CON could probably run circles around these dudes, okay? Because, you know, chances are that I'm sure that these guys got some skills, don't get me wrong, but, you know, if I was going to go private, if the government was to privatize something like this, like, let's say the U.S., here's an offer, all my law enforcement brethren listening right now, would you like to have the ultimate hacker warfare? Great. Here's what you do. You let me run it. I don't know how to hack. That's fine. But I know how to find people who do. And I bet you, if you were to give me, oh, let's see, I need a squad. Let's make them, give me 20 guys. So I'd need $2 million a year as a budget, because I'm going to pay all my hackers $100,000 a year. And then what we do is every year, everybody has to compete to provide their, you know, their status. Which is sounds brutal, but I mean, hey, this is war. And I'll make sure that we have the best people, and people from all over the world will come. And it's not related to age. You have to be at least 15 to get in. And we just go from there. And I can think of a whole ton of different ways you could determine who's truly the best. And can't you? And last but, well, not last, but we got a nanotech update again. Nano-operated prototype robot has been successfully built in Xi'an, northeast China. China's going crazy with nano. The success has propelled China to a world leader in nano operation technology. So this is an actual fully-fledged nanobot. That's a nanite. Researchers at the Xi'an Automation Research Institute under Chinese Academy of Sciences operated via special microscope and computer screen the nano's robot's hand, which is a million times smaller than a pinhead. The artificial hand can move atoms like people play chess or write on a tiny area that's as small as 1/20th of the cross-section of a hair. Experts say that the nanorobot's precise tops the world, or the nanorobot's precision tops the world, has provided the foundation for future robots that it can enter the human body to manipulate cells. China has this. Suddenly, I don't feel so happy about it. A nano is a unit of length that measures 1/1,000,000th of a meter. I did not know that. Nano micro operations are applicable to move, carry, and assemble nanomaterials using nanoscale. Nano. And today's daily hack is Uber tutorials from Dark Nature. I got this email with a link here. I'll read you the email. Hi, Sean. I know how it is when you set up your web server or something, you can't be sure whether vulnerabilities are known to exist within your chosen solution. This handy-dandy site, which I've linked to off my live journal, lists tons and tons of server vulnerabilities with details, how-tos, and fix-ups so you can make sure that all your server software is up to code. Of course, there could be other uses to the list like this, but that's left to the reader's imagination. So that's today's daily hack, and oh, baby, is it a good one. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight in a time of tyranny. And they are Forley, Dave, Grey Ghost, Jesse Drake, Philip, Robert, Michael, Melican, Anonymous, Derek, Jesse, Derek, Eric, Steve, Matt, Brandon, Keith, Peter, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Evan, Triad, Matt, Austin, David, Brian, Jonathan, Host Mojo, Adam, Mark, Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Jonathan, Michael, Daniel, Art, Darmu, Justin, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, and Alan. And new subscribers this month. The people who showed up for reinforcements are Druid Y, Simmeru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Richard, Matt, Jesse, Joseph, Andrew, End User, and Christopher. Thank you so much. And today's hard netrunners, the Flying Monkey Squadron, were Rebel Whore, Ricky Rocket, Lead Score, Judas, Pig Monkey, Bonsai, Poppy, Zizzix, Dead Code, Notally, Pig Monkey, Geo King, Captain White Bread, Rainstreak, Omega Draconis, Dr. Marius, and Wandy. If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab, and that way every little bit helps and we can keep the fight up. Special thanks to Casual Physics, who sent me the best structured email of all time. Upcoming events, you remember we've still got that fest coming up down there, that Linux Fest in Washington. Check that out off the site. And special thanks again to everyone for their access and gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or other pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that's newsreel at rantradio.com. and if you like the music in the background, pick up the album On Fire by Eurovision. Now I'm going to leave you with a track by Triad's producer, John Holowak, called The Party. Very, very cool. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
This is a day. This is a day. This is a day. When all Americans. When all Americans. All Americans. All Americans. All Americans. All Americans. All Americans. From every walk of life.
Every walk of life.
Every walk of life.
Every walk of life.
Unite.
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 Good evening.
In days of reckoning, we can be confident. Our first goal is clear. Our first goal is clear. Terrorist attacks, corporate scandals, stock market declines will help our economy immediately. You and I serve our country in a time of great consequence. Small groups of men seize control of great nations, build armies and arsenals, set out to dominate the weak and intimidate the world. More jobs mean higher revenues to our government. You and I serve our country in a time of great consequence. Some might call this a good record. I call it a good start. Our forces are on the offensive. They're trying to shake the will of our country. The current president is plotting in other nations and drawing up more ambitious plans. By our actions, we have shown what kind of nation we are. When the gates of the prison open, the path ahead should lead to a better life. Thank you.
Good night.
And God bless you all.